Well, do you know how far the food you're eating has travelled to get on your plate? ABC's Brad Marcellus has been celebrating our Best Food is for the Country Kitchens series. This week, well, it's a little bit different. We're going to meet the South Burnett farming community that has united to create the Farm to Fork Collective. It's all about eating local and supporting our wonderful food producers. So let's head inside Warulin Farm to Fork Shop to find out more.
Everyone wants to buy local, everyone wants to buy. So who do we have here?
Hi, I'm Roberta Chablon, how are you?
And over here we've got...
Selena Carey. I produce free-range pork and honey.
And over here we've got...
Greg Patch. We're lamb suppliers.
So the door's not even open, people are trying to force their way in to buy local produce. Is that what it's been like the whole time, Roberta?
Yes, it has. Yeah, it's been amazing. And that's what we love about it, is the support from the community, and they're actually knowing that they're... dollars are staying in the community as well.
Now we're standing in a very old, you know, like an old corner shop that you see in a lot of villages and on the side of the road sort of thing. And the road is quite busy. It's just not too far from Kingaroy. So how did this place come about? What is it and how did it come about?
It's a collective. So there's about 9 of us on the committee. But it's also about a collective of different producers as well. So it came about with all of us struggling, basically, to get local produce. Myself as a chef always strive to utilise local produce and was travelling long distances. We're all scratching our heads wondering why people don't have local produce in restaurants and cafes locally. Obviously, we realise it's an accessibility issue. So we all got together because we all felt passionate about making sure that local produce would be more accessible to locals, tourists, cafes, restaurants, businesses. Everybody needs to be using it, and we've got great stuff here, so we need to showcase it. So this is how it sort of came about, based basically off a farmer's market. So farmer's market being once a week, we decided on the twice weekly.
And it suits your busy lifestyles as well, because a lot of people are farming, working jobs, running around after kids. It's, you know, farming is not the only job most farmers do.
No, that's right, and we all volunteer our time. So our committee volunteers their time, and we actually have had community members put up their hands to volunteer, and that's what it's actually about. We actually wanted to bring the community back together as well, so almost like a hub. Great for mental health, those who are retired, maybe at home every day, wanting just that one little outlet. And we actually do have those kind of people coming here, and they love it. They love the dynamics, the chatting, meeting and greeting.
What about the location, the building, the old building that you've converted?
Oh, it was an old bakery back in the 30s, apparently. Has been a cafe, then went to a vet clinic before us, but it was empty for about a good 8-9 months. I used to drive past all the time and look at the sheds across the road and think about maybe a farmer's market in those sheds would be great. When that fell through, we all sort of talked about the shop, that it was a cute little shop, maybe it's something we could do. So what we actually have done, there isn't anyone else doing something like this as a not-for-profit.
Yeah, there's some really inspirational signs on the wall around this shop just to know how important local is. Like, food at a typical Brizzy barbecue travels an estimated 200,000 kilometres. That is crazy. And what have we got here? We've got the locavore movement, which is about everything in this shop comes from within 165 kilometres. So that's locavore? What's a locavore?
So locavore started in 2005 with Jessica Prentice in the San Francisco Bay Area. She decided to do an experiment. If she... because she noticed local communities and dollars were diminishing and farms were closing up. So she decided to try and use local produce inside that 100-mile radius for them, which converts to 165 kilometres for us. And she got to the point where she even went down to the San Francisco ocean and got a bowl of water and waited for the water to evaporate and she'd have her own salt. So she was literally really doing only everything, 100% of everything, where we always say we strive to utilise. So there's some things you just can't get within that 165, like your chocolate, maybe your flour.
Chocolate, we can't go without chocolate. So what's going on? The other thing I look around the shop, there is obviously the produce. We've got garlic hanging around. There's fridges full of meat, asparagus, cured meats as well, honey. Selena, what do you look after?
Yeah, so I do free-range pork, so that's completely free-range, chemical-free Wessex saddlebacks. We only have a very small herd, so we average 1 litter a month. We try to go 2 litters a month and keep them in the same paddocks together. Our girls do have huge litters, so we'll have anywhere between 14 and 16 in a litter. And we also do honey as well. We don't heat treat any of our honey, so it is all pure and raw. And
honey pork. There you go.
Yeah, and yeah, we do honeyed pork, but we do a lot of honeycomb as well. It's very popular, and we've also gone into creamed honey now. So we made the investment into buying a large creamer, and it's probably one of our most popular products now.
Are people getting excited about food because of farm to fork? Does it mean that, you know, you're talking more about food?
You don't just talk about your own product, because, of course, we have people come in and we try to know everything we can about every product that's in the shop as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So when we have people come in, we can actually educate them on where those products come from. So we make sure that we get to know our own producers that are members here, and then we make sure that we know everything about their products so that we can tell people about it.
Greg, another one of our suppliers.
We have Australian white sheep. We sell most of that directly to the customer. So everything that we sell is sold before it goes to the butcher shop. Nose to tail, which means we don't do portions. Like, there's other suppliers that are here. The other two suppliers that supply the lamb do portions. They're all great examples of meat, but we all have our own different ways of doing it and different breeds.
What's good about a collective like this for you, Greg, as far as you're concerned?
Friendship that I get from it. Like Oz Garlic is just behind us. He's our neighbour, so we get to see him pretty regularly. So, yeah, it's basically the friendship.
Can you taste the difference with fresh produce?
Oh, definitely. No worries at all. Our lambs are fed on multi-mixed species pastures, similar to free-range pigs, free-range chickens. You end up with a denser meat, nutritiously more dense meat.
What about you, Selena? Can you taste the difference, do you reckon?
Oh, absolutely. I was telling the guys, what was that, on Father's Day, I went to my brother's place over on the Sunshine Coast, and he decided to serve roast pork that was from the supermarket, and I seriously could not eat it. I actually smelt it first, and then I took one mouthful, and I just pushed it aside. I was absolutely appalled that he would even do that.
We're so spoiled. We're so spoiled.
And we have a chicken producer that's only just started providing the shop here, and we had a roast chook the other night, and I said to my husband, oh my God, it tastes like chicken. Like, you just, even what they class as free-range chooks at the supermarket, it's just not the same. Mm. It's just the freshness and the taste, and of course they're all a lot more moist as well, because they don't need to be injected with moisture, and it's the same with the pork, because they naturally have those layers of fat in it that they're not producing in commercially raised pork.
Roberta, should we be aware of what we're eating and where it comes from? Is it important?
Yeah, I think it's very important. Especially for me, it's always been the welfare of the animal, and I've always tried to push that through my catering events. Talked about the welfare, talked about the miles, so it's not just about you keeping your community dollars in, which is great, but it's also about your food miles. So, you know, we're all talking about keeping our climate change, but are we really doing enough to keep those food miles down? So we've still got trucks trucking food that's going from one farm to a distribution centre 2,000 kilometres away just to come back to possibly that same town just to be put into a shop or a supermarket. Like, I don't get how we're actually doing our bit for climate change. So people need to really stop and think about the food would obviously be more nutritious, more flavoursome, because it's not sitting and not travelling. So where your food comes from is so important on so many levels, not just about your farmers, your low food miles, your nutrition, everything. It covers everything.
When you guys have a barbecue, I definitely want to be invited, because I reckon...
That's all right. We're going to do a spit pig this year at Christmas.
Ooh, mouth-watering stuff. The Farm to Fork Collective opens Fridays and Saturdays, and you can head to their website for a full list of local food producers. Farm to Fork Collective.